Welcome back, everybody, to another exciting episode of Cast to the Past, where best friends get together to talk about old games in a new light. I'm Josh, and I'm joined always by...
I'm Tom, and I'm just so mad right now, Josh. Filled with... What's the word? Word to describe? No, it's like anger, but more serious. Like
determination?
No, I'm filled with rage, Josh.
Oh my God, rage?
Yeah.
Well, you should take that to the streets, because today we're talking about Sega's Streets of Rage.
Ooh, yeah, we are. Yeah, Streets of Rage, a Sega Genesis jam. We promised we were going to be doing some older and more varied games, and I'm actually excited to talk about this one.
Yeah, I want to dive into this one because I need to know, is this your first time playing Streets of Rage, Tom?
Absolutely.
Oh my first God. Time. Because I never remember you ever talking about Streets of Rage. And I remember you talked about getting it on a Sega collection. And I was
wait a minute. I lied. I have lied to you, Josh, and the listeners. I actually have an anecdote about the first time I played Streets of Rage, which we can get into. It's a good anecdote. And I was like, in my brain right now, I'm like, holy crap, Tom, you almost went through the whole show without revealing that. So, all right, we're going to get into that.
Okay. Well, Josh, since you lied to me, tell me about your first time playing Streets of Rage.
Well, Josh, before we rectify any lies, let's just get the good old nitty-gritty.
Nitty-gritty.
Y'all ready for this?
I mean, that is fitting because this came out in the 90s.
Streets of Rage was released in August 91, the second to be specific, but only in Japan on the Mega Drive, aka the Sega Genesis. It was known as Bare Knuckle overseas, but when it was ported, it was called Streets of Rage.
Yeah!
Developed and published by Sega, it was later ported to the Game Gear, the Master System, the Sega CD, and now it's in a buttload of places. You can literally get it for 99 cents on the Steam store, which is how I played it for this episode. Josh, what version of this did you play for today?
I played the good old Sega Genesis version because I have it sitting in my collection. So I just pop it inside my console and I'm good to go.
Fantastic, fantastic. Just as the Lord intended. Well, Josh, I know I teased the story, but let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. When you finished it for the podcast, what number of completion times was that? Is this like the second, third, or fourth time?
So,
or is it much higher?
Okay, so I will tell you, this was the first time when I was doing it for the podcast that I beat the game by myself. I've only ever beaten this with a person with me. Because it's just much easier to play with two people. When you play it by yourself, you can really get your ass handed to you pretty quick. If you're not familiar with how the actual fighting mechanics can work to your favor. But yeah, this was my first time beating it alone. But playing it with people, oh man, it's probably been a dozen to two dozen times. This is a co-op game that works a lot when it comes to couch co-op. You know, we talk about games like Turtles in Time. You talk about the Simpsons game, the X-Men game, Sunset Riders, right? And then you have Streets of Rage, which kind of came out around the same time, if not a little bit before some of those big titles that we just mentioned.
But this is, of course, I'm just saying it again, developed, published by Sega. This is one of their big franchises. And, you know, very recently we got Streets of Rage 4, which fans were singing to the skies about because, you know, they felt like it was a long overdue return of this beloved franchise.
Well, fun fact, Tom, do you know when Streets of Rage 4 was supposed to come out?
Mm-hmm.
For the Sega Saturn.
Oh.
So you can imagine how long we've been waiting.
Pretty long. It's almost as long as, remember when we waited for Kingdom Hearts 3 for a long time and then we got it?
No, I don't remember. It kind of just came and went.
I was just re-listening to one of our older episodes the other day because of a game I was playing, and I was like, what did we say about that game? And when I listened to it, I made a comment in it. This was like 2018, and I was like, well, at least Kingdom Hearts 3 is finally coming out, and we were both like, yeah. And now it's just like,
It happened. It happened.
It happened. It happened.
So that's the nitty-gritty of Streets of Rage. But Tom, I need to go back and find out, how did you first come in contact with Streets of Rage?
All right. So in terms of these belt scroller games, which is what I was informed they were called in my research, Kung Fu, Double Dragon, Final Fight. These are called belt scrollers because I guess you're going horizontally and it's like a belt. All right, cool. The first like version of these I ever actually played was Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game, which we have noted our adoration for. And we played at twitch.tv/catchthecast. But
the multiplayer version of it, though.
No, because Ubisoft's online servers are terrible. But the first time I experienced Streets of Rage was in, I'm going to say, 2013 or 2014 at a video game night at an unfortunately now closed gay bar in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. My fiance, then my girlfriend, one of her coworkers was a bartender at this bar and said, "Hey, it's a video game night. Come on out." And I went there. They had consoles set up all over the place. And I had a great time playing Streets of Rage with, you know, random friends that I made that night. And it's probably a much more friendly experience than I've ever had in any other regular bar I've been to in my life. So I just want to say that.
One thing that, you know, gay people are known for is having amazing taste, right?
Yeah.
And look at, case in point right there, guys.
Exactly. You know, it's not like when I walk into regular bars and there's a lingering hint of depression and alcoholism buried under a fog of cigarette smoke, you know, you walk
and two people are standing next to a golden tea machine trying to get a hole in one.
But the ball's broken, so they can't actually spin it properly. But no, this bar, it was just like, "Hey, you want to play some Sega and drink a beer?" And I was like, "Yes, please." So that's where I played Streets of Rage for the first time.
I first came in contact with this game the day that it was released.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you think about it. It's
you
very...
You were what, three? You were three?
I was playing games at that time.
Now, hang on. And you said in the Games We're Thankful For episode, how old were you when you got Zelda? I feel like the timeline doesn't work.
I was like two. I would have been three, almost three at this time.
So you remember being 2 years old and playing Zelda?
Yes.
Josh, I think you have a better memory than I think I've ever given you credit for. I don't remember anything from when I was two.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I remember when we got the Genesis in our house. When we got our Sega Genesis, we got Altered Beast, of course. We got NHL 90, well, NHL PAL or NHL, whatever one before it was with the Players Association.
You got hockey, is what you're saying. You got hockey.
And then we got NHL 94 later down the road. Yeah, we got that. And I know we got Streets of Rage in that time frame, too. I just remember, I never like played it, but I remember watching it. And then as I was understanding what I needed to do with a controller, started figuring out the game piece by piece. It's a pretty easy pickup. And you say, what are they called? Belt scrollers?
That's so like, you know, this was released after several years of notable arcade beat-em-ups. And as I mentioned, the ones that apparently were big factors in this game getting developed were Kung Fu Master, which was released on the NES as Kung Fu in 84, Double Dragon in 1987, which is iconic, we all know that, got a movie, got a cartoon, you know, Double Dragon, we just know, and then Final Fight in 89, and the Nintendo Life article that I got a lot of this information from on the history of Streets of Rage, it called these belt scrollers.
Yeah, see, I always remember them as side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
I guess it's just like the logic that like the enemies are just
well,
kind of coming
you said Nintendo Life, right?
Nintendo Life wrote
Nintendo
this
Life is UK, so I'm wondering if it's called something different.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, but that's very interesting.
I believe they're UK. I'm pretty sure they're UK.
It kind of works because it's. I think it is a bit different from traditional side scrollers as we know them in terms of Mario and Sonic, because like a conveyor belt, these games are about like enemies kind of like just coming towards you nonstop, and you can't get off the conveyor belt. You know what I mean? So like, okay,
yeah,
I think it works.
So, I just remember this game being great as a kid, and it was a game that I always had. Even every time I had a Sega Genesis, I always had this game. So I was really excited for that.
Well, Josh, actually, I don't know if you know this, but this game was developed on a modified version of the Golden Axe game engine.
Yes.
Which a lot of people will note that you can tell because of the swarming enemy patterns.
Yeah, Golden Axe was always a game that I just never got into, and it's because I'm not into that era of games. So like that prehistoric, like medieval time, I'm not into that.
So you're not a Far Cry Primal fan?
No. Honestly, every time a game goes into prehistoric stuff, I'm done. This whole new season of Fortnite is based off of prehistoric stuff, and I'm like, I don't care. I lost all interest with it. Like, I don't care about that. It's...
Now, Josh, what if Fred Flintstone was revealed to be a playable character in this prehistoric era? Would you change your mind?
Yabba dabba, don't touch me. So, Streets of Rage follows the story of three police officers. You got Adam Hunter, Axel Stone, and Blaze Fielding.
Okay, whoa. These people have last names?
Yeah, yes they do. And they are on their quest to take down the evil Mr. X, who's pretty much just...
Mr. X.
He's pretty much just like a giant crime boss in this one. So, Mr. X, bad guy, you guys going to stop him.
Yep. Mr. X has taken over the city. They don't give it a name. I saw in like the development history, I guess a lot of people claim that this game looks like Detroit, or maybe it was inspired by Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yes, he has taken over the city, and now corruption is everywhere. And I got to note, Josh, these main characters are not cops. They are ex-cops, because they're here for vigilante justice.
It's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. So you traverse through, I think, 8 stages in this game.
Yes.
And you come across multiple different types of enemies that have not really superpowers. They're more just slightly enhanced people. You can pick up multiple different types of items that are health related, or you can also pick up weapons that you can use in many different forms, whether it's just swinging and hitting or throwing it across the screen. But the key piece to this game, and what makes this game a lot better than a lot of beat-em-ups that you see, is the combat system. Now, the combat system, very simple. You got 3 buttons: attack, jump, and your special. The attack, you got your punch, you got your jump punch or jump kick or jump knee, whatever, depending on what character you're playing as. But then if you get close to them, you're able to lock up with that character, and you can knee them when you're locked up from the face, or you can hit your jump button, jump behind them, do kind of like a big like flip over the back of them, and then do a belly to back suplex. Rest in peace, Eddie Guerrero. That works so well because the way that this game is built, the way that they programmed the bad guys in this game were to kind of swarm you. And you've talked about that a little bit, where they're going to constantly keep coming in and attacking you from the front and the back. And they kind of have what I consider the boo mentality, the boo memorization, where if you're going towards somebody that's in front of you, they might step away from you. And then someone from behind you is going to get closer until you turn around and look at them. And they're like, well, hey, man, I'm cool. And then the other guy is going to try to attack you. But with them swarming you, you have the ability to get behind them. So beat them up, grab them, jump behind them, and then you can separate yourself and distance yourself from the rest of the people on the screen, the rest of the enemies. So there's a lot of different strategic moves that you can make to be successful. You can go in there and start throwing punches, but you're not going to last much longer. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I agree completely. I agree with you that the combat system is incredibly nuanced. And, you know, I think we got to give credit too. You mentioned the main characters before we talked about the combat system. What makes them more distinct than just, you know, that their character designs and, you know, personalities, but they have different fighting styles, and that plays into each of their individual combos and fighting skills. We have Adam, who is a boxer. We have Axel, who is a martial artist, and we have Blaze, who is a judo master. So the types of combos and everything that Josh mentioned, you know, like, they vary from character to character because of their fighting styles. And also, poor Adam, he's the only one with a not extremely 90s name. You know, we got Axel and Blaze and Adam. You know, like, it's just regular old Adam.
Now, you get the special attack. And the special attack is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You hit your, depending on what button you want, it's either A, B, or C, however you set your controls up. I like to leave mine at C, so it's furthest away from me. But
okay,
you press your special attack, and what happens, Tom?
If you activate it, police cars will swarm the screen because your buddies in the forest are still willing to help you, and they all pull out bazookas and just go pew, 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 and just to, like, annihilate everyone on screen.
It's great. It's so awesome. But that's the main one that I'm talking about. Yes. That's the most notable one to use, because it's like, how often do you get to call in somebody who's just going to shoot a bazooka at everybody that's on the screen? That's awesome. Yes. That's awesome.
Yes. Police with military grade weapons. It's like we were being shown the future of America.
So the first level, the boss was Antonio. He was kind of a
Antonio.
He had a boomerang. So it reminded me of that guy from Suicide Squad. Did you know recently, when I was playing this one, you can actually punch the boomerang when it's flying in the air to not hit you? I did not know that.
I wish I had known that.
I just found that out during this playthrough. Yeah, it blew my mind. Then we had Souther, which was the guy that looked like Freddy Krueger, kind of mixed with Wolverine.
Because he was in the dilapidated part of the city, so of course he's got to look like a scumbum, you know.
You had Abadi.
Abadidi.
Yeah. He was the wrestler that kind of looked like the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man put together. Bongo, which was the big fat guy who breathed fire out of his mouth. You had Yasha and Onihime. These were my least favorite boss fights. That was my least favorite one. And I don't know how you feel about any of these boss fights, but these two, just every single time, even from when I was like, you know, 4 to like when I actually could play the game normally, but like 4 to now, like 28 years, those two still give me a problem.
It's because they're the only combo boss in the game, and it just adds to the frustration. And, you know, like, it's such a strange curve because we build up to them, and then, you know, slight spoilers, the next boss after this is the return of Souther or Souther or whatever. I don't really know how you're supposed to pronounce his name. But, like, yeah, it's a
Souther.
They're there. Uh-huh.
Souther?
Souther, you know. And then they're just gone. And it's kind of like, given that this is a co-op game, I think if you're playing it in co-op, it's neat in that it's like, oh, the bosses finally figured out that they need to team up. But then they go away. They don't, like, continue this threat.
I'm happy, though. I mean, they're just reskins of Blaze.
I know. But I'm also just saying, like, structurally, you know, and kind of just, like, pace-wise, it's so weird that they're there in the middle of the game, and then this idea is gone. It's like,
Don't worry. You can go and play Streets of Rage 4, and they're in there. And they're as difficult as they are in this, too. Well, so
there you go.
Then you got, I think stage 6 is kind of just a random assortment of a whole bunch of people again. And then
stage 6 is the factory with my favorite thing on the soundtrack, which we'll get to. But
we'll get to that soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, we will. But it's the return of Souther as the boss of that one.
Yeah.
And then the freight elevator.
Which, typical elevator level in a beat 'em up. Just keep going up and beating everything once the elevator stops. And then you get to Mr. X at the headquarters.
Mr. X.
But Mr. X, man, for a game 1991, a beat 'em up, would you expect to have 3 different endings to a game?
No, and that's what really impressed me. So which one did you get on this playthrough?
This was, I beat 'em.
Right.
I just beat him. Right. I want to get the good
ending.
I
also just beat him, but I looked up the bad ending, the you became the bad guy one, and it's just like, whoa, like what an option. Holy crap.
Yeah. Like, so, well, that you can only really get that one if you played multiplayer. So you get to Mr. X. So imagine me and you are playing. You get to Mr. X, and he goes, it's something along the lines of like, so this is your last chance. Would you guys like to join me? You both have the option to say yes or no.
Oh.
So if one person says yes, the other person says no, he goes here and he puts a pipe in the middle of the room and you guys have to fight each other.
It's like the Dark Knight. It's tryouts.
So we would fight each other until one of us is dead, right? And then he'll ask us again if we want to join. And if you say yes, you go back to a previous level. I think you start at level 6. If you say no, you have to fight him. And then when you fight him is when you beat him. That's when you become the new boss.
Ah, okay.
So it's awesome, though.
Like, I dig that. That's intense.
It is one of those things, like, you guys made it through this entire game, and then you get to the end, and you have the ability to turn against your partner. Like, it's, oh my God.
It's like the keys of the city have to go to someone. I mean,
so, but like, you know. that's unheard of for a beat 'em up in 91. Like, unheard of for a beat 'em up nowadays.
Like, remember Bad Dudes? It ends with you guys getting hamburgers at Ronald Reagan, and now it's just like, do you want to be the new crime boss? You know, like, it's ridiculous. It's I agree. It is quite shocking. Quite shocking.
Anything notable here before we jump into what I think is one of the best parts of this game?
We're talking about the soundtrack.
We're jumping into the soundtrack. Yeah.
Well, look, I got to say this. It's one of these things where obviously, when you go back to try something that like defined an era or was a landmark, you're obviously going to approach it from the backwards perspective of how many years away you are from it. And that's like kind of the mission statement of this show, looking at these old games, talking about their legacy at the time, but also acknowledging how is it now. This is a game that is clearly designed to be played with other people. I enjoyed this, and in that, you know, flashback memory I had, I remember having a lot of fun with this at the bar, playing it with the random other customer who was there. But it, you know, going through for this, a lot of things got me through the game. The combos, the soundtrack, the kind of just like cool like setting and atmosphere. But it's rough single player, you know, and it kind of begs. It's like, play me with somebody, you know, like this is for like, you know, couch co-op. And it's a positive and a negative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's usually a lot of beat 'em ups. It's really hard to find a beat 'em up where you can just go through and dominate by yourself. Now, like I said, if you can master...
Well, I'm not saying... I don't want to say dominate as in, like, I need to be able to beat this game easily. I do want a challenge, but I feel like the game really does, like, you know, elbow you in the ribs for going it alone. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know.
So, first off, can I just say to everyone listening, if you have ever played this game before, you know how great the soundtrack is. I want to let you know the soundtrack is available on Spotify and Apple Music right now as we speak, so you'll be able to get this hip hop jazz 90s synth ridiculousness that is also amazing.
Well, among those genres, I think two you left out, which are the most important. This is very much electronic dance and house music, you know, like, and I love this soundtrack. I've been a little bit more familiar with the soundtrack than the game, you know, before I actually played it. So I don't know if you're aware of this, Josh, but there is a DJ, they go by the label of Team Teamwork. And I first encountered them through a project they did called Ocarina of Rhyme, where they took the soundtrack of The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, and then they took lyric tracks from famous rap songs and mixed them together and created some really interesting stuff.
It's the beat. I hear it in my sleep sometimes. Blur it in your teeth so your peeps can stare at the rhymes.
They have an album called, I believe it's called Super Genesis Sega Nintendo, where they take classic Genesis and SNES tracks and put them over rap songs. And Stealthy Steps from The Factory is mixed over a Childish Gambino song. And think it's a legitimate jam. Welcome to the cul-de-sac. This is where the street ends. I am just a rapper. I ain't got the time for speaking. But that's how I got kind of introduced to the Streets of Rage soundtrack. And yeah, I agree with you. Like, in its original form, top to bottom, it rules.
Yeah. It is one of those, like, me and Becca were sitting upstairs and we were playing the Pokemon trading card game, and I just had it sitting there playing, and she's like, this is really good. I'm like, yeah, this soundtrack's over 30 years old. Well, it's going to be 30 years old this year.
This year?
Oh,
this
my
year,
God. Yeah. And it still slaps. Mm-hmm. Like, even just the opening scene with the title scroll, very similar to Star Wars, explaining the city and that just music hitting behind, like, you know, like, something's not right with the city. Like, there's a lot of bad happening here. Mm-hmm. And just, oh, God, it's so good. Like, even when you're out on the beach and just, like, It just slaps. I can't get over that.
Like I said, there are songs on here that are just like complete bops, songs that are total jams. I cannot recommend the soundtrack of this game enough. You know, like literally, if you need any excuse to play this game, do it to get from level to level just so you can experience it. And, you know, all the credit in the world has to go to Yuzo Koshiro, who composed all the music and specifically said, like, they were drawing from house and techno influences. And they really specifically, like, went for percussion machines that would generate the same kind of beat and tempo that you would find if you went to clubs in, like, that era. And they were like, it has to sound like this. It has to sound like this. And I think that dedication to making it sound as good as possible is what has given us this banger of an album.
Yeah, it really helps build the world. And it's very weird to hear that the music to a game like this builds that world, right? So you think of other beat 'em ups, right? Like Turtles in Time probably did it the best as a follow-up to this, where different eras, the music kind of went in tandem to kind of make it feel like you were in that era. This okay. made it seem like you were in the an urban part of the city.
I will say that I think the only beat 'em up soundtrack that comes close to being second place to Streets of Rage is Anamanaguchi's Scott Pilgrim vs. the World soundtrack, which in and of itself is a jam and a masterpiece and all those positive things.
And you wouldn't have a game like that without Streets of Rage. I think Streets of Rage just is probably like the pinnacle of side-scrolling beat-em-ups. This is probably one of the best of this genre. Yes, it's not the original. It came out kind of in the middle of all that stuff. People will always compare it to Final Fight, but I think this blows Final Fight out of the water. There's a couple minor errors here when it comes to hitboxes on bosses and patterns and stuff like that that are a little weird and unfavorable to you. But if you're playing with two people, you're not going to have a problem with it. I think this... I'm going to say it. This is probably top three Sega Genesis games ever made.
I would agree. Maybe I can't say if I know this is top three, but this is like one of the more distinctly, if I was a kid in the 90s on the playground and somebody was saying, you know, like, well, the Super Nintendo has so much, what does the Genesis even have? I could be like, he was like, name one Genesis game that's not Sonic. I could be like, Streets of Rage, bitch.
Yeah.
Because in this scenario, my grade school self would say bitch and not be afraid of getting in trouble, unlike the real me. I'll be completely frank with you. I didn't know that this was a exclusive Sega game until researching this episode. Like, even though I had played it originally on a Genesis, I just assumed this was an arcade port, like several other games that we've talked about recently. I did not know that this is exclusively like to the console. So that really impressed me, considering how detailed it is, how good the soundtrack is. Like, in my brain, it's like, clearly this came from an arcade cabinet and it sounded and looked better there, but nope.
Now, everyone says Streets of Rage 2 is better than Streets of Rage 1. And that's something that hurts me inside, right? I've never...
Okay, tell me why.
I never dipped my toes too much into Streets of Rage 2. But apparently, gameplay-wise, it is... It did what Sonic 2 did to Sonic 1. It just improved everything.
Okay.
And guess who came back for the soundtrack?
Mr. Koshiro himself?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did.
I feel like they should have put a dump truck full of money in front of his house for the sequel based off of how good he did on the first
one. So that's the thing, though. Streets of Rage 2 almost never got made because it did not sell well in Japan. Streets of Rage only sold really well in America. However, they didn't want to make a sequel to this game because of, you know, how Sega was at that time. They didn't care as long as it did good over in Japan. And like, Sega of America had a beg Sega of Japan to make this game, make not Streets of Rage 1, but Streets of Rage 2. They were begging them to make Streets of Rage 2, and they're like, you know what? Fine, do it. And apparently they outdid themselves the same way that they did with Sonic. So
that's really interesting. I really would like to reread Console War, which I've read once and I thought it was a fantastic book, because I do remember like multiple chapters just deal with the fact that Sega of America clashed in terms of decision making and ideologies with Sega of Japan. And I'm sure they probably talked about Streets of Rage in there. So I definitely need to give that book a reread and see if this comes up.
Tom, at the end of the day, would you recommend Streets of Rage to anybody?
Considering that you can get it for as cheap as 99 cents, you know, this is not a difficult game to find or acquire, I would definitely say that this is worth a look, and I would recommend you try to find someone to play it with you, and I would absolutely recommend that you put on a good pair of headphones and get ready to rock your head to the soundtrack while you play it. Does it hold up 1,000%? No, it has some very, you know, rough edges that history have made rougher, but it's still worth a try, in my opinion. Josh, how about you?
Yes, I 100% recommend this game. It is a great beat 'em up. It is a great couch co-op game too. But if you want to play the best version of this game, and I hate to say this, you got to play it on the 3DS.
Interesting.
Because on the 3DS, they did 3D Streets of Rage, which was a part of that Sega Classic collection that they did.
Okay. Yeah,
when they went through and they redid like all of the original, like Golden Axe, all the Sonics, Streets of Rage was in there. I think like Vector Man and stuff like that was also included with
Vector Man would be perfect for that, yeah.
But that's apparently the best way to play Streets of Rage.
I was going to say, this doesn't happen a lot on the show, but not only is it a recommendation, but like it's a specified recommendation, you know, like I actually kind of like when we do that, because we don't do it a lot.
And I was going to say, because this might tie into an episode that we have to do in the future because of Extra Life. Apparently the best way to play Resident Evil 4 is on the Wii. So I'm just saying.
Well, I've got a Wii and you've got a Wii.
So. I got several Wii's.
Yeah, you got Wii's for days.
So you heard it here, folks. Both of us recommend Streets of Rage. Are we going to ever hop into Streets of Rage 2? Probably. I don't see that being too much of a problem.
My doctor told me to cut back on anger. He said that it's bad for my heart, so I don't know if I can play Streets of Rage.
Okay, what if we go to like a Field of Rage then? Not the streets. Right,
we can start there. We can start there.
Okay. So, while Tom's going back to talk to his doctor to see if Fields of Rage is good enough for him, this has been Josh.
And Tom. Keeping an eye on his anger.
And we will see you in the future. While we boot up the Triflex capacitor, please take some time to subscribe to the show and leave us a review wherever you listen. This show is nothing without you, and any support helps.
If you want to connect with us and discuss the past, present, and future of gaming, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
We also have a Twitch channel where we play games for the show and for fun, so come chat with us anytime.
Thanks again for listening.
And we'll see you in the future.